Second hour, Aaron Donica Chase here on this Thursday morning. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Willie Donick is up in New York in the Big Apple. Tonight, the new home of the Islanders, UBS Arena. Not Nassau Coliseum, not the Barclays Center. This is the new home of the Islanders. It's in the Belmont Park area. And he now joins us. Willie, how is it up there?
It is great. I have not been to the arena yet. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't know why. I'm not – my equipment has not been hooked up correctly or something. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. But I'm on the straight-up Zoom just for the time being. Hopefully, you guys can hear me okay.
Yeah, sound fine.
I'm looking forward to this. This will be, like you said, the third venue that we've done, Predators-Islanders here. We're situated in Manhattan. Because the Predators will play all three of the teams from the New York area. And so they're staying at a central location, but it's a pretty good haul from here over to Long Island. So they went and skated this morning, the team did. And of course, as you guys know, they've had some issues with some illness going through the team. So that's been an interesting morning skate so far. Pretty much everybody, I feel like everybody is on the ice. This morning, there's still, I think, a few question marks on who's still bothered by the non-COVID illness that might be running through the team a little bit that sidelined a couple of guys, but everybody was able to skate this morning.
You talking about Saros and Ekholm?
Yes. So keep your fingers crossed that those guys might be ready to go. I feel like, I think I saw this, that David Rittich was in the starter's crease, so they may be giving UC Saros an extra day. And so he may back up tonight. Remember, they did call up Connor Ingram, so they could wait another day and have UC Saros not even back up tonight, just give him another day of rest. So that's a possibility as well. But we'll be heading over there a little more this afternoon. Hopefully the rush hour traffic isn't too bad, and we'll get over there in plenty of time.
Yeah, let's see. The game's at, 6:30 Eastern time? 7:30 Eastern. Sorry. 7:30 Eastern time. So, yeah, you need to leave in, what, the next 30 minutes? Is that?
Yeah, it's a good question. Probably you can never leave too early. But we're scheduled to leave at I'm doing the time. It's 3:30 Eastern, so it would be 2:30 Nashville time that we're going to be leaving. So we just had our meetings. It's definitely a different game day than we normally have on the road here. But we've been checking in with the people that did – go over with the team to skate. The team is actually staying on that side of town. They've got another hotel that they're just going to rest for a while for a few hours after they're done with the morning skate, so they don't come all the way back over to the central hotel here and then back over on a bus ride. So very strategic.
Well, remember in Anaheim when we looked around and said, where is everybody? And they're like, traffic. So I'm sure maybe in New York, maybe they have figured out that you have to leave a little bit earlier because of traffic. I'm just saying. I never understood that when we were in Anaheim at the Honda Center. It's like, where is everybody? This is the Western Conference Finals. What? Where is everybody? Oh, traffic's terrible here. Oh, okay. Well, if you have tickets to the game, wouldn't you leave at a different time? What does that mean? I mean,
yeah, but I mean, there's only
leave earlier.
There's only a certain amount of time that you can leave early. Like if the game's at 7,
well,
I mean, like, can you leave work right at 5 and go straight to the rink? Like, I mean, does it take 2 hours?
Apparently so, I guess. If you believe, remember they didn't like really show up until like the second period.
I don't know.
Well, it's going to be out of my hands. I'm just going to get on the bus when they tell me to get on the bus, and I'm hoping to make the bus because if I don't, then I'll be tested with the New York Transit System, which
didn't
hit
go
or miss
in your favor when you were a student athlete. It didn't go in your favor.
It did not. I did miss the pregame meal for the NIT championship in 1990 because I got on the wrong subway. And I almost brought my freshman roommate, Kevin Anglin, down with me because it was totally my fault. Me being a guy that thought he was familiar, having grown up outside of New York with the subway system, I was kind of a scrub, so it really didn't make any difference for the championship game. Our game plan wasn't going to change, but Kevin was starting on the team. Thankfully, Coach Fogler had a little mercy on him. He just made us run in the following preseason and didn't punish us for that game tonight, or that game that same night, and we won.
I just, if you do miss the bus and have to do it that way, I hope the first person you run into when you walk into UBS Arena is Barry Trotz, so he can just shake his head at you for missing the bus. We've heard a story or two about that. So
I did. I don't think I ever missed the bus, but I did break protocols on the bus one time. I wrote a blog about something that happened on the bus, and he was ready to kill me because he said, you cannot ever reveal anything that happens on the bus, even though it was very harmless what I did. I told a funny story about, you know, something somebody said on the bus. It was Patrick Hornquist. He made a funny crack and everybody started laughing. It was very tasteful, all that stuff. But I broke the protocols and Barry Trotz. Mm. I got the word from Kevin Wilson the next day, Coach Trotz would like to see you.
Ooh. So he actually gave you the message.
Yeah. Oh, he wanted to deliver the message.
He wanted to deliver the message. He didn't go through the PR guy. He wanted to deliver. Wow.
But here's the thing. He said, Coach Trotz would like to see you. There's no Trotzy, no Barry. Yeah. You know. You know, if it's Coach Trotz, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
You've been called to the principal's
office. Did you know what you did? Did you, like, immediately know? Or did –
I did
like,
not know.
Huh.
I did not know. And so he filled me in, and he was – you know, he had cooled down by the time I actually went there. And I had known him for so long. I just hadn't traveled with the team very much. And when I had, I'd never been asked to write a blog. They just said, hey, why don't you write a little blog? You're going on this road trip. And so I was like, yeah, this is great. So sure. I did that. And it was the first game. And I got nailed for just breaking protocols. I was like, this is going great. I just started traveling with the team. And already been asked to see the coach.
Willie walked in and said, hey, Bear, what's up? He's like, yeah, have a seat. Oh.
Oh. I can see that now.
I thought you were going to give me the lineup. Oh, okay.
Well, what was it he said to the bus story is our old friend Jeremy missed the bus and or almost missed. Or did he miss it?
No, I don't think he missed it. It was in Minnesota.
It went right to the wire. The bus was about to close its doors.
And he got on, and he's like out of breath, and Trotzy just looks at him and goes, you're not going to be late for a bus again, are you?
We had some close calls with Jeremy that year, but that was the one. It was the first one of the first road games that he did the year that he traveled. And just trying to get all the stuff together and get down, and he took a wrong turn. It was in Minnesota, and he barely got to the bus on time. And everybody was, like, looking. Everybody else was on the bus, and we're waiting on this one guy. And that's how the story goes. It's one thing if it's Pecorine that you're waiting on, or Thomas Focun, but they're not going to wait on Joe Schmo, the radio announcer.
The radio and engineer? Radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Typically, they're not waiting on the radio engineer.
The clock was ticking. Greg Harvey was the traveling guy, and he's looking at his watch going, I got another 30 seconds, and I got to go. And then finally, here comes Jeremy coming around the corner, huffing and puffing with all this equipment, and he just collapsed into the first row of seats. He crashed in there just as the doors were about to close. And we were like, oh, man, that was close.
Think about how many stories we have on Jeremy doing that for 1 year. Can you imagine if he did it for 2 years, how many stories we would have?
Oh, man.
I almost missed the plane one time going to Dallas. You remember that, Darren? I wasn't late, but it was like I should probably already be on the plane.
Well, you weren't. I mean, that was not. It's not like
I was getting. It was at the point that Brandon Walker was calling me, like, "Hey, are you coming?" Or and I was like, literally walking in.
Hey, you beat Pekka, so if you beat Pekka,
yeah. But see, as it was explained to me, Pekka had to be the last one on the plane. Like I needed to get on the plane before Pekka. So
yeah, true. That's true. All right, we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about this matchup, Titans and Jags. Get into a little bit of that discussion. Don't forget, Silly Underdog Picks coming up at high noon. Elliot Freeman at 1 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff to get into with him. But first, Willie, you're going to give everybody a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's start off talking about Lee Company here. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to always keep in mind with Lee Company. so many great services. I'm up here in New York, and it's a beautiful day. Last night you had that really hard, cold rain close to turning into snow. So we know the winter days are coming. So make sure your heater is running properly in your home. And if you haven't had it checked in a long time, it's not too late to do it, because you certainly don't want to get into a crisis situation and the heater's not working for you. So call 615-567-1000 and set up an appointment for Lee Company to come out and check that heater system for you. And while you're at it, look into the home maintenance plan that I talk about all the time that we use in our household in the Donick residence. It's an older house. Our house was built in 1913. So you better believe that stuff breaks down over time. We've lived in our house for about 20 years. So my point is, the home maintenance plan has worked for us because we stay on top of things. As things start to wear down and need repair or replacement, Lee Company is there to give us the good advice. It's a home maintenance plan. It works for us. It can work for you as well. 615-567-1000 or go online at leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
If you're looking for a place to hang Sunday morning before you head over to Nissan Stadium and see the Titans take on the Jags, our pregame show will be live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where Willie will not be. He'll be still in the Big Apple, getting ready to go to Madison Square Garden. Hashtag jealous. Pregame show will have Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who will join us at noon. That show will be from 9:30 until 11:30 in the morning at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. That address is 1003 Russell Street. Okay, so if you're looking for a place to hang, that is your place. Or if you don't have tickets and you just want to watch the game, then just go there and just stay there.
Great spot.
Yeah. Our pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and it looks like the news is pretty decent on maybe getting some bodies back. And I saw on Twitter right now, Todd Downing was talking to the media. He was talking about, what a guy like maybe Golden Tate brings to the table. His quote was, "Seeing him come in here, his love for the game are very encouraging to add. Any guy you can add loves the game as much as he does. You're doing something right." Okay, that doesn't really say a whole lot. Also talking about Julio Jones maybe getting back in the mix. So we'll see. We'll see if maybe some of the bodies coming back in this lineup can help them. Trevor Lawrence has not lived up to the billing thus far. He's a rookie quarterback. He hasn't been great. The Jags aren't great. They're a bad football team. They got a long ways to go. They may or may not have a franchise quarterback. Let's just start there real quick.
Wait a minute.
That's where we're going.
Are you saying Trevor Lawrence is not a franchise quarterback? Or possibly not?
I am.
It's
saying,
1 year.
Let's talk about it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
let's talk about
it. 2 years ago, you were ready to tank and let's stop everything and put everything on hold to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
You mean it's possible that a guy that was a tremendous college quarterback and a Heisman Trophy may not translate to a great quarterback?
And he did exactly what I told you he was going to do 2 years prior to him to come out. He was going to be the number one pick in the draft, and he was. So, but he has not been very good this year. So how much is it as a product of him being on a really, really bad team? He's thrown 9 touchdowns and 10 picks. Like
said he was can't miss. You said he was can't miss.
Yeah. Yes.
That's tank.
I remember the conversation quite well. Yes.
Darren, let me ask you a question. Is Peyton Manning pretty good? You have a pretty good career.
Yeah, and he threw 31 picks his rookie year.
28.
Okay. 28.
26 touchdowns, but 28 picks.
I think what is interesting to add, because I think, one, you're going to chalk it up to the Jags are a bad football team, okay? Bad franchise.
Bad football team, bad franchise, and a not great head coach right now. I think, Willie, I think you and I got to handle this for a second. you got that. You got bad teams around him. Bad teams or bad players around him. You know, I think Daryl Bevel is probably a decent offensive coordinator, but you know, and he's a rookie. He's new to the league in a not a great division, but I just think you got to give it time. I don't think you can write off Trevor Lawrence yet.
But I think you could write off his rookie season. That's where I was going with this. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, this is just going to be a very, very underwhelming rookie season, which typically happens. Justin Herbert, it didn't happen. He had a great rookie season. Is there any first-round quarterback this year that's been great? Mac Jones is going to get praise because he's on a good team, but you know, Mac Jones is just being he's just managing the game. He's just not hurting them. I mean, they're not riding Mac Jones to the promised land, but look, right now that formula is working for him. That's all they need him to do. But I mean, overall, all these quarterbacks that went, none of them are doing anything, right? I mean, Trey Lance has barely played. I mean, none of these guys are doing it. Zach Wilson has been a disaster, hasn't hardly played either. So
I'm looking at the Football Outsider quarterback efficiency rankings, and it is very interesting to note where the rookies are. You mentioned Trey Lance. There's a lot of people in San Francisco and people following the 49ers wondering why he hasn't even gotten a chance, because it's not like Garoppolo has been amazing. And at least people thought there would be some packages where you would see Lance, but they're really not. He's been invisible for the most part.
Well, he got hurt, too. So.
Yeah, but he's back now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's back. But, I mean, I think that maybe that had a lot to do with it.
Maybe so. Maybe so. We'll find out more the week that the Titans play the 49ers. But Mac Jones has been very solid. We know the surrounding cast is much better than these other guys. Dead last is Zach Wilson, 32nd out of 32. Josh Fields, 30th out of 32.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence, 29 out of 32. So all those guys are way down there. And, of course, they all have something in common. They have surrounding casts that are limited. I think for this weekend, the first game between the two teams, Lawrence actually had a little bit of success. Remember, they were coming off the game where they had the big lead, and they had a chance to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati on that Thursday night. He actually looked very good in that game. He came in with some confidence. James Robinson had a great game against the Titans. I think something that's hurt them the last few weeks, James Robinson has been fighting through injuries. He has not been nearly as effective. I think he might have missed a game in there somewhere. But I think that's the key, that the running game to support Lawrence hasn't been there the last couple of games, and I think that'll be something the Titans are going to key on. Don't let James Robinson do what he did in the last game. He had a big game in the last game. Remember, he hit the big long run?
Yep.
I can't remember if it was a screen pass or a long run, but he hit like an 80-yard play that got them off and running.
Robinson was limited in practice yesterday with the heel knee, so.
Yeah, this has been going on for 3 or 4 weeks with them.
You do wonder. You do wonder if Jacksonville, since they are deemed a bad franchise, will they ever put anything around him to elevate him? I mean, they don't have – he's got no weapons. You know, are they going to – but I get it. They drafted Travis Etienne, and so he was lost for the season before the season ever began. So maybe – that helps a little bit. I mean, nobody knows what he's going to be at this level. Maybe he is going to be really, really good. Don't know. But, I mean, I just think right now they're pretty far off from being a real threat. I guess, you know, far off is relevant in the NFL. It doesn't take long to turn things around, but you're also asking a bad franchise to start making good picks, right, or surrounding him with, you know, maybe they spend money within the free agency period and with the draft. But they have to start hitting on a lot of things. But that's not going to be until the offseason. Where I was going with this is Trevor Lawrence is going to be just a rookie quarterback that is going to be very, very, very pedestrian this year. It's just going to be very average to possibly even below average. And so the point is he's not a real threat because there's not much there for this Jacksonville team.
Right, no. I mean, think about who he's throwing to. Tavon Austin, Marvin Jones, Jaden Mickens, Laviska Shenault, Laquon Treadwell. Those are his receivers. So, yeah. You know, he's got Dan Arnold, Luke Farrell.
Dan Arnold's hurt. He's on IR.
Jacob Hollister. I mean, James O'Shaughnessy. Those are his tight ends.
Yeah.
So I
not
mean,
exactly just, the who's who, is it?
No, I mean, and like, how many? How long has Tavon Austin been around and bounced around out of West Virginia? He's been nothing with the Rams, Cowboys, Packers.
How many times has he been sacked this year? Do we know?
I just had that. Sorry.
You know, while you look that up, Chase, you know what it says to me is we continue to have this mindset that's evolved from the beginning of the season. That's why tomorrow we're going to have some fun with my questions to you guys, the biggest 10 questions after training camp. Mm-hmm. We all had this vision of the offense was going to pick up the defense. You know, just hopefully the defense would become a little bit better. Now we're really in a mindset. You look at this team, you just went through all the stats. You're hoping that the defense can take some heat off of the offense for the Titans and not, you know, while they try to figure out all, you know, who's running the ball, who are our receivers, how do we make this work with this, you know, this hodgepodge of guys, that the defense is really the ones that are helping him out here.
He's actually been sacked less than Tannehill.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hasn't been sacked. I looked at, all I had was his last five games, and he was sacked 11 times in his last five games.
He's been sacked 22 times overall.
Okay, so he's averaging about two sacks a game, somewhere around there.
Yep. Yeah. And Tannehill's been sacked 33.
Yeah. 2-1-3-3-2 was his last five games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not – that's not anything that's, you know, crazy. But this as we talked about yesterday, this is just a game. Like, there's really nothing to discuss. Other, you know, it's just a game. You have to go out there and you have to win. I know you brought up convincingly, and the odds makers say it needs to be convincingly because it's a pretty high spread. But I don't know. I mean, it probably doesn't need to be a razor's edge like the New Orleans game. Come down to that, but I just, to me, it's like the only thing we cannot be talking about on Monday is a bunch of turnovers and a surprising loss, because I'm just telling you that the whole, it's going to be the you know, the air out of the tire in this market if we're having that discussion. If this team somehow loses this game, which I don't believe there's any way they can. I mean, I guess five turnovers again, they can lose.
I mean, they lost to the Texans, so it's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's true. But, I mean, if we're having that discussion, man, you're going to see.
There's going to be a bigger discussion.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people jumping ship.
So, the thing with turnovers, you talk about the 10 interceptions that Trevor Lawrence has. Here's another thing. You get to him, if he's averaging two sacks a game, okay, you got to feel good about the pass rush getting to him. But he's also fumbled seven times. He's lost four of them. So, he's turning the ball over. You know, with fumbles and interceptions. So that's another thing that I want to see this team do, is force some turnovers, because we haven't seen it the last few weeks. You know, Byard can get back into that, getting Landry to him and maybe forcing some fumbles. I think that's got to be an emphasis of trying to, you know, win the turnover battle. But they're in a position where they have a quarterback that does turn the ball over.
And I think that was the perfect storm. No pun intended, because against the Texans, the rain definitely factored in, but it was factored in on top of the fact that they had that turnover early. That early pick by Tannehill, that was maybe his worst of the year, I think. Under the circumstances, that was his most costly interception that I can think of off the top of my head, because they fell behind, and then the rain comes in, and they're having to piece it together. They lost. I think that was the game that Marcus Johnson got hurt mid-game.
Yep.
A.J. Brown also got hurt during the game. And then by the end of the game, they're just trying to figure it out. They haven't game planned with any of these other guys. It's a driving rainstorm, and Houston doesn't have to do anything. They can just go into the shell and hope that they can hang on, and they had just enough to do that. It was just everything came together. So if you can just get ahead – not fall behind. You don't have to score on every possession, but you hope that your defense plays a good game, play that field position game, win the turnover battle, and it'll be a much, much different outcome.
Who do you guys think will be the active receivers for the Titans on Sunday?
Oh, man.
I think Julio Jones is going to be active.
I'm with you. So
unless
anything happens,
knock on wood, between now and – because it was practice, just a routine rep where he messed it up the last time. So
Willie's brother from another mother, NWI, will be in there.
So Julio –
he's in there.
NWI. Chester.
Chester.
Chester Rogers. So there's three. McMath has returned to practice.
Don't think he'll – I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Don't know.
I think the better of the two between Dez and McMath could get that spot. Dez has
been
playing.
And then there's the X factor, and that is Golden Tate.
I think Golden Tate will be active.
You think so?
I think he'll be active.
Because I do think, like, they picked up Adrian Peterson, and then after a couple weeks, I think they figured, you know, what we have here is better. He's just not quite there. So
I think they're evaluating Tate
to see, can he still play at the level?
Yeah, but they put Peterson
and
in.
Understanding.
The only way you're truly going to evaluate is put him out there and see what he can. I mean, doing this stuff in practice during the week. Like Peterson, to their credit, at least for 2 weeks, I mean, they put him out there. I mean,
they put him out there, but they didn't. I don't think they anticipated Hilliard to do the things that he did.
And then they made their evaluation of just Hilliard is better.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then the other question is
Foreman
how quickly
and Hilliard
is Golden
will just
Tate,
roll with that.
Can Golden Tate pick up the system and understand it well enough to earn the trust to be elevated above a Dez Fitzpatrick?
That's the question for me. Is Golden Tate better than Dez Fitzpatrick? Because I don't think they're 100% sold on Dez Fitzpatrick.
Honestly, if the answer is no, I don't even know, unless you're just using him as a body. Right. Practice body. I don't even know why he's here.
Well, the question
is,
with
that much experience,
is Fitzpatrick on the rise? Is he improving? Is he making progress to where physically, because he has some tools physically, you can see that he's young. He's got those, you know, he's got some good size, but I think for him, it's more of a understanding the game, understanding the routes, the scheme, because, you know, that one example in that Houston game, they had nobody else. They're trying to throw it to him. They took a chance, and he did not adjust to the ball in the air very well. It didn't look like he was on the same page. And so that was a big thing in that game. But maybe he's learned some things since then.
Yeah,
it's a great question. Who's going to be active? I think we could play that game a lot. Who are the five guys they're going to use?
I think
– Really?
I think it'll be Julio, Golden Tate, NWI, Chester Rogers,
and
probably Dez, but I don't think you see Dez much if things go right.
Racy that, though is special
well,
teams.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're leaving out
that's
his,
a very good
I mean,
point.
His strength is
and how, well, and he, we forgot one. They could elevate Hollister.
Yeah, they could.
So they could elevate.
Reliable.
They could elevate Hollister. So yeah, you
we
know
also
what?
Don't. They don't have to That's elevate McMath yet, too, because they could. They have actually 3 weeks before he has to be active. He's not
well,
on
same
the
with Julio.
Offer. True.
But I'm kind of with Darren. I think Julio's in. I didn't think that at the beginning of the week, but now I'm like, okay.
McNichols is back. It looks like he's back in the mix.
That's
so
good.
That will be interesting. So how do you deploy
What's
your
his
running
role?
Back?
Right. What's his role?
Especially with the emergence of Hilliard. Do you have
I
all
think
three
his role
of those
is,
guys?
Yeah. I mean, they did that a few weeks ago with Peterson. I still think they want McNichols to be in the role he's been in all year.
You think?
Probably. I mean, he hasn't carried the ball
a little bit. I know, but it's changed a little bit. The lay of the land while he's been gone has changed.
True. I mean, Hilliard can do some of those things, but I could see all three being active, plus a fullback. The other fullback's been a special teams guy.
Yep.
And they've used him some. Torrey Carter.
Willie, why don't you tell everybody about Loan Pronto?
Let's do it. Loan Pronto is looking at the rates right now and asking you, do you want to get your finances ready to go for 2022? You have a great opportunity right now to take advantage of the fact that rates are at an all-time low. So if you need some money for cash out, for paying some bills, some credit card debt, maybe you want to reinvest in your home. Maybe it's something you want to unveil for the holidays is, you know what? We're going to reinvest in our home. We got a brand new bathroom we're going to create, or a pool, or a patio, a man cave. Who knows what it might be? But this is an option for you because home values are so high and the mortgage rates are so low. So Loan Pronto has for you the zero-cost refi program, where if you just want to refi and set that price a lot lower for your monthly budget, you can absolutely do that. And that is going to be great for your holiday budget because you can skip your next two house payments. It's an all-digital process now. Most loans are closed within 14 days, and you get to even skip your next two house payments with the zero-cost refi. So you can get a rate with the APR in the twos. You can do that right now. And if you need a home equity loan, you can get cash out pronto, and you can put it towards that important project that you might be working on right now. Either option is there for you. All you have to do is call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible.
You got another chance for a Preds Pick to Click, which is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, where you guess a Predators player to score. You'll have another opportunity tomorrow morning. They did it this morning at 8:45. Another chance tomorrow as the Predators will take on Jersey, the Devils, tomorrow night in Newark. So keep that in mind tomorrow morning at 8:45. Steelers and Vikings tonight. By the way, silly underdog picks coming up at high noon. It kind of feels like an elimination game. That's what way it feels to me. I kind of feel like the loser is kind of done of this game.
But did you see the news?
Dalvin Cook, it looks like, is going to be upright and available tonight.
He's
going to
play. That's the headline on ESPN. Me. Dalvin Cook makes quick return from shoulder injury. Will play.
Yeah. It feels like a desperation move, does it not?
Yeah. Because they know they got to win.
Yeah.
This one's tough, man. Because you're right. Elimination game. Loser leaves town. I think Zimmer's fighting for his job. The Steelers don't fire anybody, so...
No, but Tomlin's not worried about anything.
No, but I
he's worried about his first ever losing season.
Yeah. You know, he didn't have to worry about USC anymore, so that's good. But
yeah, right.
But yeah, the Vikings are you're putting it on the back of Kirk Cousins to try and keep you in this thing. And that's not a position I'd want to be in.
But well, we know Thielen's out.
Yep. So even if Dalvin Cook plays, I mean, he's going to play, how effective is he really going to be? It's a shoulder, but, you know, still.
Yeah, I don't know. So that'll be interesting tonight at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Speaking of that, I was looking at some of the numbers. Do you realize the Titans are the only team this year that's had three players go for 100 yards rushing this season? And also,
seems right.
They've the only team that's had four players go for 100 yards receiving.
Hmm.
How about that? They're the only team this year that's had that happen. In fact, in the last 10 years, there's only been four other teams to pull that off. That's it. Care to guess who? In the last 10 years? So there's only been four other teams pull off what the Titans have done this year that nobody's done. Have three players rush for 100 yards or more, and four players have a 100-yard receiving game or more.
Hmm. Other teams to do that.
I don't know. I'll be curious.
Yeah, I know you're just – it's just a shot in the dark.
Well, I know. I'll just be curious to know the circumstances as to why, because we know the circumstances for the Titans, and that is the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries have forced them to have other people have opportunities to make catches and run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say,
so I'm guessing the same thing would have happened with these other teams, but I can't know that.
I'll throw New England in there just because they've had Brady made a lot of people look good.
It wasn't about Brady made a lot of players look good. It was really about when you think about the system. Like, I wanted to see if anybody would go. Think about it. What's the most frustrating fantasy football draft pick? A New England Patriots running back.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they had so many that they used.
Because they used so many. If you fumble once, you're going to miss about three games. You're out. You're out of that game. They're taking you out. Like, you better not fumble if you're a Patriots running back. You fumble, you're out. And then it's next guy up. And if the next guy does well, then you're just sit and wait your turn. Right? It's really frustrating because they don't ever stick with one guy. They use a rotation. So I wanted to see if somebody would go there. And indeed, New England is one of the teams. I'm quite honestly surprised. Now, remember, they do have to have the other element. Four receivers with 100-yard games.
Which that I'm not really concerned with New England. I figured they had that. It was the run part that I was unsure of.
So New England did it in 2013. LeGarrette Blount, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen.
Wow. Vereen.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I've had him on my
Which guy was the guy that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, then it was cut like 2 weeks later? That wasn't him, was it?
No.
Remember that one guy? Remember the guy?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He had some fumbles and he was out?
He was against Indianapolis, wasn't it? And then he was like, he
was that around?
Late for a meeting and we never heard from him again.
And he was a no name.
He was he's an undrafted guy.
I know.
If I heard the name, I would say, yep, that's it, but I'm not going to come up with it.
He had
one game.
When do you think it, like?
It was probably in the last 3-4 years.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Nope.
Oh, nope, it wasn't him.
Nope.
Sammy Morris?
Nope.
Shane Vereen would have been a good guess. Man,
I have no recollection of Shane Vereen or
I do.
Until you said it. The name sounds familiar. I can't picture him. I don't know what number he wore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much of a memory of him. It just shows you.
I may have had him on my fantasy team at one point. The four receivers that did it that year for New England. Actually, they had six.
Now, was this a year that they won it? 2013, I'm just trying to, off the top of my head, match up to the year. I'm trying to think of this. I don't think this was a championship season for them, was it?
Well, it would have been the 13 season, the 2014 Super Bowl. Trying to remember who was 14 in 2014. That's
2011 was
years
Aaron
ago.
Rodgers, I think, right? 2011 was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. While we look that up, the six players were Danny Amendola. How about this one? Aaron Dobson.
Who?
I don't remember him. Julian Edelman, Gronk, Kimbrel Tompkins.
Who?
And, oh, by the way, Shane Vereen.
A texter.
Big year for Shane.
A texter says Jonas Gray.
That sounds right. I think that sounds right.
2014.
Was it 2014? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was about the last 4 years, so a little bit longer than that. Yeah, I think that's it.
I remember that now.
Mike Gillisley had a similar stretch where he only started two games and ran for almost 400 yards in those two games, or they started that year and then didn't play.
Hmm.
Wow.
So New England was a team.
Mike Gillisley. It's another great name.
Mm-hmm.
So we need three more?
Yeah. And one team did it twice.
One team did it twice.
2013 was the Seahawks over the Broncos.
That's right. I should have known that. I was covering that up in New York. That was
Buck was just made a nice
joke
about it. Yeah,
I was saying we just talked about this. Shame on us.
So it
that
wasn't
was
a championship
game in East,
season.
That was the Super Bowl in East Rutherford.
Yeah, so it wasn't a championship season. They did come back and win the title the following year.
Well, they lost to the Broncos. They lost to Peyton and the Broncos in the championship game, AFC championship game.
Yeah, in a very was that the championship game?
Yes.
It was a couple years later that, remember, Peyton was on his last legs. I think they beat Brady, and it was a real defensive slugfest at Mile High. That was 2015. So yeah, this was the Peyton Manning Broncos era that we're talking about, 2013, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, of course, are always in the mix, but remember, they went for a good while there without actually winning the Super Bowl. They went from 0-4 until 2014 without winning the Super Bowl. They were certainly there and always in the mix.
I'm trying to think of these other teams. Is Green Bay, they have a team in there?
Nope. Well, remember, Green Bay has not had any luck with 100-yard rushers. Yeah. Remember, they went like 36 games without a 100-yard rusher, three seasons almost.
What about the Colts?
Nope.
Okay.
The Colts would have been a good guess.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm thinking like Edrin James, Joseph
Addai. All right, give us a hint, Darren. Are these good teams? Are these significant teams, or are these scrubs?
Yeah. No, it's NFC. It's two NFC teams. And
okay,
the one you'll think of it, it's kind of like the New England situation. It makes sense. If you can get there and connect the dots, you're like, oh, yeah.
How about Eagles?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I'm going to give it to you. Seattle.
Mm.
Right? They've done it twice.
I was kind of thinking that. But.
Because, one, they've had a lot of injuries at running back. Two, they do the running back carousel. And they do the same thing with receivers, right? Russell Wilson can make anybody look good. So the last time they did it, the last team to do it was Seattle 2018, where they had Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and Rashad Penny. The four receivers were Doug Baldwin, Will Disley, David Moore, Tyler Lockett. They also did it in 2015 with Marshawn Lynch, Christian Michael, Thomas Rawls. Remember Thomas Rawls had his day? His moment, his week. And the four receivers were Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, Jermaine Kearse, Tyler Lockett. And then the other team was the 2012 Giants. They did it with Ahmad Bradshaw, Andre Brown, David Wilson. I would have never gotten that one.
No.
And listen to the receivers. Rames Barden, Victor Cruz, Dominic Hixon, Hakeem Nicks.
Holy moly.
Yuck.
That is
a whole lot of yuck right there.
That was the year after they won the Super Bowl. The Packers won it in the 2010 season, so I was off. It was January of 2011. I was saying 2011. That was Aaron Rodgers' one. Then the following year is when the Giants beat the Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. The Hail Mary to Gronk that fell short right after Ahmad Bradshaw scored the touchdown. So this is the Giants coming back the next year, and they had that group of players. So I'd love to do the study of why this happens. Like, no, I don't think anybody sets out to have three different running backs run for 100 yards. That's a heck of a committee if you've got it. But usually it's because somebody's hurt, and you find another guy that steps up.
Yeah, but that just tells you how hard it is, because guys get hurt all the time, and that just tells you how hard this is to do. Right, because
and it's not ideal.
Backups get chances all the time, right? But having that type of success, the question I have is, 5 years from now, if I were to ask you guys this question, will you be able to answer it for the Titans?
No, I won't remember half of these guys.
Well, you remember these guys?
Oh, I would hope I remember the Titans, but these guys you just mentioned for these other teams,
I had totally wiped them
from my
but
memory.
Will you, though? 5 years from now, you'll be like, oh, yeah, Deontay Foreman and Dontrell
Hilliard.
Yeah,
no, I won't be able to do that.
Right? And then you'll go, NWI
okay,
and
but let's
Marcus
say this,
Johnson.
Though. Let's say this. If they do something special in the postseason, I would like to think that this is a part of the storyline, is how did they get through without Derrick Henry and with major injuries at other places such as wide receiver? That's a big part of the story. Fair to say? So I hope we remember these guys.
Well,
they would deserve to be remembered.
Okay, I want to know the fourth
team. Let's hope we don't have the Andy Pettit misremembering. that Roger Clemens accused him of. I'm using all these New York references because I'm up here in
that's
the
good.
City.
That's
Giants
good.
And
oh, that's,
Roger
I mean,
Clemens,
that's why
Andy Pettit.
I gave you a Giants, you know. I threw them in there, so there you go.
Okay, is it the Saints?
Chase, we've already named him. That was it.
Oh, that was it? That
was Seahawks Chase twice. Is still going.
Chase is still trying to come up with another one. Yeah, you're not going to come up with it because that's it.
It's over. Chase,
Seahawks,
it's over.
It's over. The game is over.
Go home.
Oh, sorry.
Seahawks twice, like, Patriots, Giants, Titans.
Oh, okay. I missed the Giants. Sorry. I was too busy like concentrating to try and figure
his brain.
Out and asking Elijah, like, do you think it's the same?
Did this happen to you at FRA, Chase, where the teachers said,
all the damn time.
I mean, Chase, Bradshaw we get, but
the test is over. The bell rung. I need your test. It's over. You can't do anything.
The most diehard Giants fan, could they have ever named Andre Brown and David Wilson ever?
No.
That's a good question.
I mean, what is it? Ramses Barden? I mean, who? Dominique Hickson? What? Even the most diehard Giants fan, could you have ever come up with that? But you know what? I hope this is not kind of a one and done, but like I said, in 5 years from now, if I said Nick Westbrook Akine, we're going to be like, oh, yeah. I know Willie will.
No.
But are we going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that?
I mean, Willie might just because – Willie and Joe Rexroad might because of their love of Nick Westbrook Akine, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I hey, think it'll
the,
be a great trivia question someday.
Was it the Dolphins?
Chase, the test is over. The bell rung. I need your test.
Hey, everyone
if you don't
is,
know it by now, you're
left.
Not going to know it.
Chase, have you noticed the room is empty? Everybody else left. Yeah. The test is – we're done. We're done. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics, and then Chase can continue looking up trying to guess names.
Redskins.
Guess names of – no matter who he guesses, it'll be wrong because we've already named all of the teams. But QC Kinetics is in the mode of wanting to let you know that if you have been sidelined or slowed down from joint pain in the year 2021, they want to let you know that there's an option for you that might make your 2022 a lot better, a lot more active. You want to get yourself moving? Look into QC Kinetics. If you haven't explored it so far, this might be for you. We're talking non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. Lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. So you can get up and get moving. So if you've had knee problems or ankle problems, hip problems, shoulder and back, believe me, I know what this is like as you get older. Don't let them keep giving you steroids, and don't let people tell you that surgery is the only option. Get that second opinion and explore QC Kinetics. See if it's for you, and do it now. Imagine life in 2022 without that nagging joint pain. Call the professionals at QC Kinetics at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.